For this afternoon, the lectionary only had verses 1 and 2 and 11 and 20 of our reading this afternoon. But as I looked at the reading, I thought you would be shortchanged if we did not have the whole reading, because I don't feel it tells the whole story. Today's psalm is written by Asaph, and he was one of three Levites commissioned by King David to lead worship in the temple. Psalm 77 is known as a psalm of lament. And there is lots of lament in this psalm. Asaph starts by saying, "I cried to the Lord for help. I cried to God in distress. I sought the Lord at night. I stretched out my untiring hands, and I would not be comforted." I'm intrigued where Asaph says, "I would not be comforted." I can only assume, as he cried out, that no comfort came. I think we all go through times of desolation in our lives where God just seems to be quiet or absent. I know, over the years, I've met some Christians who say, "God is always present. You know, he never leaves us. You know, he's always there." But I think, actually, if we're honest, sometimes there are periods in our lives where God seems to be just not as close as he used to be. He's never completely absent, but his presence doesn't seem as close as some of the time in our lives. Sometimes these periods can feel dark, and especially in the middle of the night, we can have all sorts of strange thoughts, and they're not always godly thoughts. They're sometimes times of darkness. And somebody called St. John of the Cross called this the dark night of the soul. But the interesting thing is, what is Asaph's response to this lack of comfort and sense of the presence of God? In verse 10, Asaph decides to take his eyes off himself and completely onto God. As he says, "Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago." Some of you will know that about 3 or 4 months ago, I realized and I was diagnosed as having depression. It wasn't a big surprise to me. I was sort of thinking, what's going on? You know, I'm not really feeling myself. I hadn't felt myself for quite a while. And it was quite something to actually, you know, own up to it. I've had depression in the past, in 2013, but this time it just felt different. It didn't feel the same as it had done before. So I was like thinking, have I or have I not? But I talked it through with my doctor, and he said, "I think you need to go on medication." So I said, "Yeah, okay." And soon after being on that medication, I took a real, nosedive, you know. One morning I just couldn't even eat my breakfast. I went down with my boys for breakfast and I just couldn't lift the spoon, you know. I thought, oh my word, things are grim. And I spent quite a few days really laid out. And I'm sitting there, and I have to say, you know, there have been some really dark nights, you know, kind of leading up to this time of sleepless nights. But I'd sit there and go, what's it all about? What's it all about? Is it, you know, what is there to live for? If you're feeling this down and this kind of bereft of hope, you think, well, what's it all about? But there's one thing. Even in the darkest, darkest times, you cannot deny the work of God in your life. You cannot deny what you've seen. You cannot deny what you've heard. You cannot deny what you've experienced of God. You sit there going, yeah, I'm feeling really grim, but I've known the goodness of the Lord. I have tasted the Lord, and he is good. And you cannot erase those things. They can't be erased. They are real. And that's what Asaph is saying. He's looking to the things that God has done in the past. He remembers the things. That's why the New Testament, the Old Testament, is they tell their story over and over again. You know, they tell the story, you know, of Abraham. They tell the story of being in Egypt. They just continue to tell their story because it's the story of God. There was one time, but I think worship is so intrinsic. Worship is, we might think, yeah, we come, why do we sing these songs? Why do we come and sing these hymns? Why do we sing these worship songs? Because worship transforms our hearts. It was a few years after I came to faith, did I really understand the power of worship? I had decided to take a couple of months unpaid leave from my dad's business. Can you imagine going to your father, who's your boss, and saying, Dad, I'd like to have a couple of months unpaid leave. What for, son? I want to go on a Christian leadership course for 6 weeks in Austria. Yeah, you can imagine what my dad thought. Yeah, he thought he's gone over the cliff now. You know, he wants, yeah. So anyway, I went on this 6 week leadership course in Austria. And it involved lots of going up and down mountains, sleeping inside mountains sometimes, that's another story. But, you know, it was really quite very challenging. And we were all in these groups of like about 10 people, and each of us would take a turn to lead the group each day and lead devotions. And I was in charge of the group on this particular day. And we were kind of told, oh yeah, just over there. We were like thousands of meters up in the mountains, you know, miles from anywhere. And we're told, yeah, just over there, that's where you're going to camp tonight. See that plateau over there? So we thought, yeah, great. Yeah, the hiking's finished and we better get a tent up and have something to eat. Anyway, it started to rain. And we're coming towards this plateau. And you can imagine the first thing we're thinking of is get the tents up and get the gear in, you know. So we just did that. We got our rucksacks off. We got the tent out. And we got it up within minutes. And we chucked all our gear in. And we were happy because we were out of the rain. The rain stopped. And we had dinner. We cooked dinner. We had devotions. And we had a good time. But then the rain started again. And the winds came. The winds were so powerful that it was one of these tents with kind of flexible poles, okay? But the poles were so flexible that the roof of the tent would come down on our noses. It was so powerful. And there were even horses up there. We could hear them galloping around outside our tents. And at one stage, we could hear a gallop and then this gap. And we thought it must have jumped over our tent. You know, we just thought we had all these things in our imagination. Anyway, the night continued. It was very difficult to get any sleep because of all the rain. And then about 2 o'clock in the morning, I could feel that my sleeping bag was getting a little bit cold. And I knew what that meant because I've experienced wet sleeping bags before. And what was happening was there was moisture. I was at the bottom of our, I was like at the, we had actually put our tent in one of the lowest places on the plateau where all the water was gathering outside and our tent was starting to get wet. And about half an hour later, my whole sleeping bag was soaking wet and I was starting to freeze. And this is like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I hope I don't die. I hope I don't get hypothermia or something, you know. I had all these thoughts. Actually, the chances of that were pretty slim. It was the summer in Austria, so it was hardly, you know, not likely. But and then I said to the guys in the tent, hey, guys, could you all move around because I'm freezing and I'm getting my... I was in a tent with a bunch of other Christians, right? Other Christian guys. And do you know what? They all ignored me. I thought, what sort of Christians are you then? But they wouldn't. So anyway, I'm starting to feel a little bit sorry for myself. And then somehow I thought, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm just going to thank him. I'm just going to start thanking him. And it completely changed my attitude. I'm not saying that I ended up on a mountaintop, even though I was pretty close to a mountaintop, you know, lit physically, but my heart changed. It was like the first time I realized that my stony heart and my fear could be changed by worship. And I think that's what Asaph does in the Psalms. The Psalms are full of people in a sticky situation at the beginning, but they turn to the Lord for help. They don't always get practically things don't always change for them, and especially for King David when he was being chased. But our hearts change. Because it's God who does the work and not us. and it's his Holy Spirit at work in us. So anyway, that's just a few thoughts based on that reading. Shall we just pray for a second? Let's just pray. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. And Lord, wherever each and every one of us are today, Lord, I pray you would be close to us, that we could think about the deeds that you've done in our lives, no matter where we are, whether we're really close to you, whether we feel we're on top of a mountain, or whether we feel we're in a valley at the moment with you. I pray, Lord, you would send your Holy Spirit to each and every one of us, that we would be filled, that we would be encouraged, that we would carry on walking with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Dennis.